everybody, and welcome to episode 151 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who often has had to invoke his Fifth Amendment rights, Brian. Brian, how goes it tonight, sir?
I'm going to tell you something, Ron. This has been a landmark week. People have seen fortunes made, fortunes lost. Hearts were broken. Relationships were bonded into the form of a union. It is it's the beauty of life. This is one of the greatest joys of living on the third rock from the sun. It is the fact that I am sitting here looking at you, knowing that I'm going to spend the next, we'll say, 60 to 75 minutes. Just, it's going to be wonderful.
It is
going to be also known as, I believe I'm feeling depressed.
All right. A little column A. In the meantime, we will get things rolling with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Slasher.
Who's? Drink of the Week. Drink of the week.
Brian, you've got coffee mugs, you've got glasses, you've got a lot set up there. Which one holds your drink of the week this week?
This glass.
Ooh.
No lactose. I know you're thinking, where's the lactose?
That was my first thought.
I don't roll with lactose. What you're looking at right here is a beer called Curb Your Ego. Hmm. The phrase originally comes from the New York street artists who decided to take the Curb Your Dog signs and put their own spin on it for New York style, changed it to Curb Your Ego. Well, our friends at Queens Base Brewery, Icon NYC, decided to take that attitude and bring it. God, why do I sound like such a dipshit? It's bursting with big, bright tropical fruit flavors, mango, melon. I mean, this is just completely spontaneous. Tangerine, apricot. It's super soft with minimal bitterness. Dank, soft, Curb Your Ego. It will have a juicy, hazy New England style IPA for 2021. Maybe dry hopped with El Dorado, Waimea, and Vic's Secret for tropical fruit notes of pineapple, passion fruit, mango, and pine. Ron, this is the beer that will end the pandemic.
Let's take a sip and see how you enjoy it. Oh, wow. Yes. No. Good. Not good.
It's a fruity IPA. It's an IPA with some fruity undertones.
All right.
It's all right.
It's okay. All right. This week, Brian, you know,
I've Ron, been before you go on to your drink, yes. There's a question I would like to ask you.
Please ask away.
Ron.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
So this week, Brian, I had gotten away from local breweries. I had started to go around the country, and people were saying, Ron, you need to go back to your roots. You need to show Pennsylvania some love again. So I went with Trogues Brewing this week with one that I have not had before. It is their chocolate stout, Grand Cacao, brewed with cacao and milk sugar. No lactose here either, Brian. I know that upsets you when I don't get my lactose.
You love your lactose.
Clocks in at a heady 6.5% alcohol. I actually took a few sips beforehand. It was very, very tasty. Yes, chocolatey, nice, smooth, no bitterness, great stout flavor. I would highly recommend it. Again, that is Trogues Grand Cacao.
Cacao!
Anything else to say about our drinks this week, Brian, or are we ready to keep it rolling?
Are you happy with yours?
I am very happy with mine. I feel I'm more happy with mine than you are with yours. So you might have to rectify that during the After Dark, which, as many of you know, if you are Patreon subscribers, you get access at the bronze level or higher to our live After Dark show that we do at 9:30 right after this podcast. Still time to get in on it by going to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Go in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, click on Become a Patron, and join us. But in the meantime, back here on the regular podcast, it's time for This Week in Racism.
This
week.
In.
Racism.
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 So, Brian, I know every week you hold out hope that this is the week. This is the week that the country nips racism in the bud, that maybe it's down. We only have a few stories. I know you said to me, you're like, Ron, I feel good about this week. I feel as good about racism this week as I feel about my investment in Labor Smart. It is a solid, solid week for both. Unfortunately, it's another bad week for racism. Another two plus pages of stories. So let's dig right into it. Going out to Orange, California, Olympic karate star was hit with an anti-Asian rant while working out in a local park. Sakura Kokumai, a karate champion training for the Olympics, was talking on her phone last week on an outdoor basketball court when a man in a navy t-shirt and orange shorts began shouting at her, quote, "You're a loser. Go home, you stupid bitch," she said in a video that she later posted to Instagram. "I'll fuck you up." As the man drove away, Kakume said she could hear him saying Chinese and sashimi, which have no connection at all, of course. What was just as jarring, she wrote on Instagram, was that many people stood by and watched. She has not reported the incident to the police, but chose to publicize it on her Instagram to raise awareness of what Asian Americans are experiencing around the nation. Staying out in California, this time going to Huntington Beach, a man with a swastika tattoo was arrested after assaulting an Asian man amid skirmishes as Black Lives Matter activists clashed with a White Lives Matter rally. Sunday's White Lives Matter demonstration was aimed at combating what protesters perceive to be widespread anti-white bias and threats posed by multiculturalism. Black Lives Matter counter-protesters ended up outnumbering the white nationalists, resulting in multiple heated confrontations and fights. In a video from the event, an Asian man could be seen attempting to speak to a White Lives Matter protester with a swastika tattoo on his forearm amid a crowd of onlookers. As the Asian man continued to engage with the marching white nationalist, the latter forcefully pushed the former away. Both men subsequently came face to face with the Asian man saying, "I want to know why you hate me so much." The tattooed man proceeded to shove him, then struck his face with a blow that knocked off the Asian man's hat and glasses. As the tattooed man was surrounded by police, the Asian man said, "I don't want you arrested. I just want to know why you hate me so much." The broadcast later showed the attacker being arrested and taken inside a police car. Coming back across country, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a Muslim woman recorded the moment when an angry Karen targeted her and her husband in a racist tirade at Walgreens. Nala Ibaid said that the incident occurred when she went to a local Walgreens and the woman was told by an employee to put her mask on due to the store's policy. The woman ignored the employee and continued walking through the store and started her racist tirade against the couple. The woman told Ibaid, quote, "I wish I was from your country so I don't have to wear a mask," then spit on Abade's friend's arm and said, "First it was the Black Lives Matter, then it's the Asians, and now the Muslims." During the rant, the woman also mocked Abade's clothing and threatened to call the police. During her call to the police, she said Ibaid and her husband were threatening her at the store. However, she was arrested instead for falsely accusing the couple and cried that she wasn't a racist because she has friends that are Muslim. The woman was later identified as Luba Bozanich, who told a local news station she regrets what she said, but felt she had been provoked by the couple. Nala.
What was that first name again?
Luba, L-U-B-A, Luba.
That doesn't sound like an American name. That sounds like the name of...
We have another immigrant upset at other immigrants. But the woman got lucky because Nala and her husband decided not to press charges. Going north of the border now, Brian, Ottawa, Canada. Garage security footage recently shared on TikTok caught a group of Canadian cops lamenting the fact that their nation is becoming a more racially diverse place and speculating that white people have already become the minority in North America. The video is a partial recording from a security camera at a person's home and was originally posted on social media by a friend of the person involved. The officers were there to serve a warrant after the man had been pulled over for driving without a license a few days earlier. The video shows three police officers standing in a garage, seemingly unaware that their conversation was being recorded. One officer said, "Our days are done. White man's day is done." Another officer replies, "You're probably right." A third says, "You're onto something." The officer goes on to say, "The population of North America, we're the minority, I think, even at this point. You go to Toronto and every couple you see walking by is a mixed couple. You don't see white and white people together. It's white and Asian, white and East Indian," he said. "I told my son he can find a Chinese Asian girlfriend if he wants to stay in the mix. Get your foot in the door." In an emailed statement, an Ottawa Police Service spokesperson said the service is aware of the video and there is, quote, an active professional standards unit investigation regarding it. Coming back to the States, in Roswell, Georgia, a daycare center has come under fire after being accused of feeding white children first while all the black children had to wait to eat. The controversy started after the father of one of the black children said he checked in on his two-year-old via live stream video and noticed the incident he described as disturbing and discriminatory. Quote, "They were skipping all of the black kids, it seemed like," Adrian McCauley told a local news station of what he witnessed at the Kids Are Kids Daycare Center in Fulton County. "All the white kids got their lunch and all the black kids had to wait. From the videos and pictures that we saw today, we are just completely disturbed." McCauley said that the center's director's response to the situation was, "I'm not really sure because I'm not in the classroom. Maybe it's a dietary thing." David Vinson, president and CEO of Kids Are Kids, said, "I wish that everybody would be able to see the video in entirety first and not just a snapshot." However, Vinson did apologize to the family, and after speaking with the owner of the Roswell Center, the company has decided to sever ties with that location. Going now to Aledo, Texas. Students at a school in northern Texas were disciplined after they set up a slave auction game on social media pretending to sell their black classmates. The incident took place in the Aledo Independent School District, where students at the Daniel 9th grade campus cyberbullied other students based on their race, according to a statement from Superintendent Dr. Susan Vaughn. Screenshots were shared showing a Snapchat group with names such as Slave Trade and N-Word Auction, along with prices that the black students were supposedly sold for. The district did not outline exactly how the students were disciplined, but the president of the Parker County NAACP learned about the situation on Sunday and said that he will take it up at the Aledo School Board meeting on April 19th.
Wow.
That's a bad one, yes. Moline, Illinois, a black football player at Moline High School, is seen on video sitting down in a locker littered with banana peels after a teammate threatens to break his knees if he doesn't comply. Moline Police Chief Darren Galt called the incident at Moline High School a, quote, disturbing racist scene. Detectives interviewed student athletes, coaches, and staff members over the weekend and turned their findings over to prosecutors. The investigation centers on an 11-second video clip in which another player, whose hand can be seen but face doesn't appear, threatens the black player to sit in the locker or, quote, "I'll break both your knees." When the player sits down, others can be heard shouting, "Yeah." The Moline Coal Valley School District said it would conduct its own investigation of the incident to determine if there were any school code violation or violations of district policies. However, the teen involved has issued a statement letting people know he is fine and asking that everyone stop talking about the incident. Quote, "I love the football team I'm on and they're good guys. I know that personally. I talked to the people involved individually and they apologized. We had a heartfelt talk about it and I told them how I felt," the unidentified teen continued. "So please don't harass, bully, or threaten them at all. Lastly, I want to get my life back together and my student athlete life back on track. So if you do ever see me or know who I am, treat me as a human first, not a victim." You look shocked.
There's some fucking terrible people in this country.
Oh, well, we're not done. We got a couple more here. Next one, in Columbia, South Carolina, a soldier at Fort Jackson has been charged after a video showed a white man berating and threatening a black man who was walking inside a Richland County subdivision. The video clip posted April 13th shows a white man shouting at a black man less than a foot apart on a sidewalk in a neighborhood called The Summit. Sade McCallum, who lives in the neighborhood and shot the video of the confrontation, said people on The Summit, a network of neighborhoods off of Clemson Road, often walk among the various communities, and it's not out of the ordinary to see someone walking that you don't know. While on a walk April 12th, McCallum said she saw a black man being confronted by women who accused him of harassing their daughters. A white man came out from a house and was initially calm, but quickly became irate, said McCallum, who then started her video. The white man in question is Jonathan Pentland, a Army sergeant stationed at Fort Jackson. He was charged on April 14th with assault and battery in the third degree and released without posting bond. Pentland told deputies he slapped the phone away from the black man and pushed him, according to the incident report. Fort Jackson had announced they will be conducting their own investigation into the incident. And then lastly, this is one of the stories that was pretty much everywhere this past week in Windsor, Virginia. Caron Nazario, a lieutenant in the U.S. Army Medical Corps, was driving to Petersburg, Virginia from a drill weekend the night of December 5th when he saw police lights flashing behind him. Too nervous to stop on a dark road, Lieutenant Nazario, who is black and Latino, drove about a mile to a gas station, pulled over, and placed his cell phone on his dashboard, according to a lawsuit and video footage of the encounter. Immediately, two Windsor police officers can be heard yelling orders at him. "Get out of the car," one yells, as Lieutenant Nazario, remaining seated, repeatedly asked why he had been stopped and why the officers had drawn their guns. He positions his empty hands outside the window. "I'm honestly afraid to get out of the car," Lieutenant Nazario says. "Yes," is one of the officers, Joe Gutierrez, according to footage from his body camera, "you should be." Seconds later, Officer Gutierrez doused the lieutenant with pepper spray. Lieutenant Nazario filed a lawsuit this month in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia. It accuses the officers of illegally searching his car, using excessive force, and violating his rights under the First Amendment. The lawsuit seeks $1 million in compensatory damages. Lieutenant Nazario also accused the officers of threatening to destroy his military career by charging him with multiple crimes if he complained about their conduct. The town of Windsor announced this week that they had fired Officer Gutierrez after an internal investigation of the incident. Ironically enough, it was also reported this week that Lieutenant Nazario is a nephew of Eric Garner, who was killed in Staten Island 6 years ago when NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo put him in a prohibited chokehold while arresting him.
I had no idea.
That just came
I didn't know that. I just did not know that.
Yes. So, that is this week in racism.
Ron, do you want to take a breather? Do you want me to go into a would you like me to do a mini rant about how disgusted I feel right now at America while you catch your breath, take a sip of whatever beverage, maybe you have a glass of cold water. Do you want to drink your watermelon beer? No, not watermelon beer. I forgot to chocolate stout. Isn't it a little warm for a chocolate stout, or was it the fact that it got a little cold the last couple days?
A little chilly, so I could still do a stout. And listen, we're still going to talk about the Dante Wright killing. Out of this week in racism into the main broadcast. But please, Brian, share with us your level of disgust right now.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. And it's just not getting better. You know, you would think that with the spotlight, with the focus on these acts of racism and the damage that it does and the double standards that it creates within society, that there would be an overall movement towards trying to be better, to treat each other with a higher level of respect or whatnot. And it actually feels like there's been a doubling down of these atrocious acts of behavior. I remember when we started doing this, we had like three stories.
Oh, again, I think it would be naive to say that it's gotten worse. I think what's happened over the years is that it's just reported more and it's spread more on social media.
Oh, fucking terrible. It's depressing. I think he did a solid 10 minutes.
I was pretty close to that.
What I think you should do, in all honesty, is sign up for like an open mic at a stand-up comedy club.
And just read those stories?
And just get up there and read acts of racism off a piece of paper. Like, I think they give you like 5 minutes or, you know, whatever it is per club. I think you should do that. We know that you've taken your stand-up comedy class. We know you have the chops. We know you know what it's like to put yourself out there, expose yourself for who you are.
So you're saying, you know, make this week in racism, make it like a tight five and go on the stand up.
Oh, no. I'm saying you keep going until, like, you know, they run the light.
Even when the light, they get pissed off of me. They have to pull me off stage. And I'm like, I will not get down. I will not stop. I will not be silenced.
Ask them why they're afraid of the truth coming out. Why is it that they want to silence the truth and they want to protect the racists?
All right. I will. I'll see what open mics are going on around Philadelphia.
Maybe light a cigarette like Dave Chappelle.
Right.
And then after every act of racism, just start laughing to yourself and slap the mic on your thigh. So this way everybody in the audience knows that they're supposed to be laughing.
All right. On a more, I guess, a lighter note.
We could watch right now, literally, people being freed from Auschwitz. And that would be on a lighter note than the past 10 minutes of this podcast.
Well, on a somewhat lighter note, coronavirus, obviously still in the news. Vaccines.
Aren't we doing Beef of the Week?
Oh, did I miss Beef of the Week?
You missed Beef of the Week.
My apologies. I'm flying through here so quickly that I'm forgetting that it is time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
The New York Post.
Really? That's rare. You love the Post.
I do not love the Post. And it you reminded me of it when you mentioned the coronavirus, because the Post did something probably last week. I would say they started it, but they really kicked it into high gear this week. And it started to bother me. It started to piss me off. I set it aside as my Beef of the Week. And then a statistic came out that really, it energized me. It re-energized me. It invigorated me. Nice. It crystallized my anger at the New York Post. Nice. So, we all know that the New York Post is owned by the Murdochs. We know that the New York Post has always, at least for the past 20 years, which for basically our lifetime we can call always. You and I are both, 22, 23?
Somewhere there.
So the New York Post is always, I just said always again. I just can't help myself. But it is on the right in terms of the political spectrum.
Sure.
There is it's an open secret. They are supporting the right. They are supporting the Republican Party. Anybody on the left, Clinton, Biden, Obama, Epstein, all these people have always, they've just been targets of the New York Post. So when the coronavirus came out, the Post has made a very big deal about how New York is dead.
Right.
New York is dead. Everybody's fleeing. Everybody's moving to the Hamptons. Everyone's fleeing upstate. Everyone's going to Florida because there's more freedoms. You can do what you want. And you can also save on state income tax. So the story they picked up on over the past couple weeks is running banner stories. So when you go to newyorkpost.com, don't go. It's a terrible website. Don't go. I'm boycotting it until tomorrow morning when I have my coffee. But one of their banner stories, meaning the top four or five stories of the day, is an example of somebody that is fully vaccinated in America that has now tested positive for the coronavirus. So since last week's episode that we recorded last Thursday night, the headlines, and I'll just read a couple.
Okay.
These are all from the New York Post. Brooklyn woman gets COVID 3 weeks after the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The next day in the New York Post. Man in hospital with COVID-19 after receiving Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Another one. New York City man tests positive for COVID 2 weeks after vaccination. Fourth article, Mississippi man partially paralyzed, unable to talk after J&J vaccine. Now, one of the things that is, statistically well known about all vaccines is that none of them are 100% effective.
Right.
None of them will automatically guarantee that you have complete protection from whatever it is that you're being vaccinated against. Now, it is also been very publicized that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine against COVID-19 is somewhere in the mid-60s in terms of its effective rate from catching coronavirus. However, it is 100% effective from death of COVID-19 or hospitalizations. What they're saying is if you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they are saying that nobody who has gotten Johnson & Johnson needed to be vaccinated. I mean, they needed to be hospitalized or died. Maybe some of those statistics are a little off. Rounding. We can round to 100.
Yeah.
But you have a chance of catching it. The idea is that 65% protection is still way better than zero.
Right. And 100% protection against dying, I think most people would take those odds.
You would think so, but not the New York Post. They have been running this scare campaign against get vaccinations, trying to scare people from not feeling comfortable going out and getting vaccinated. So this afternoon, like the sucker that I am, I went back to the New York Post website, and there's an article there, which I'm going to pull up right now because it had a very interesting headline and statistic. Nearly 6,000 Americans who were fully vaccinated have tested positive for COVID-19.
That's a big number, Brian.
You would think so, right? Rod, how many Americans would you say have been fully vaccinated from COVID-19?
I believe the number is around 66 million.
Now, were you guessing that number or were you fairly educated on that?
I was using, I believe, the statistics from the same article.
I love you. Have I ever told you I love you? So of this, the 6,000 people that tested positive out of the 66, the percentage of people that are fully vaccinated that have tested positive for COVID are 0.008%. Meaning that if you're fully vaccinated, your chance of getting COVID-19 is 0.008%. And this is what the New York Post decides is the story that they need to be running at the top of their website almost on a daily basis. The fuckers.
I mean, you know, it's clickbait. They're just trying to draw people. But yeah, I mean, you do hear these horror stories. I mean, the J&J vaccine got paused. It will probably be paused for at least another 8 days due to the situation with blood clots. But even if you look at the number of people, I think it was six people that apparently had blood clots out of the number that was vaccinated. You know, again, it falls not only well within the percent of you know, what the side effects are, but it also falls within just the natural percentage of Americans that just get blood clots in general. So it's not to say that there's any, you know, I mean, correlation doesn't necessarily mean causation.
So that's fuck the New York Post.
So that's your beef. Fuck the New York Post. All right.
My beef.
I'm good with
Ron?
That.
Ron?
Yes, sir. Yes. I'm listening.
What's bugging you?
You know, it was actually, it was a good week. Like, there was a couple of situations where I felt like this is going to end up being my beef of the week, and they actually ended up turning out pretty well. But I mean, I had a very minor beef this week. I've been back to work since the beginning of the year, and we're still in a pandemic. We're still in a situation where a number of people are not working in offices. They're you know, working from home or whatever. And it is just amazing to me the number of places a year into this pandemic where trying to reach people through phone or by email is still not like. Like I tried calling a place today and it was like, all right, you know, our offices are closed, but we're working from home. So just you know, punch in an extension and we'll connect you to the person you need to talk to. Like every time I punch in an extension, it would just like, you'd hear like clicking for like 60 seconds and then just hang up on you.
Who are you calling?
I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. But it was.
Who are you covering up for? Is it Stan? Is it Stan? Are you covering up for Stan?
Not Dan, the deity of dips, is none of them. It was just frustrating though. But otherwise, I mean, I had actually some very positive interactions this week, which is very unusual from a customer standpoint.
Hold on. What is the opposite of beef? Chicken?
I mean, maybe the kush of the week. I don't know.
Tofu. The tofu of the week. Ron, give us an example of a positive experience you had this week.
I'll give you two quick ones. One, I had to go to Whole Foods to return some heavy cream that we had purchased.
This is done. Billy just put up a great comment, and I think you need to acknowledge this.
I mean, Billy's asking if I was calling photographers to get a new promo picture. I mean, that is in the works, obviously. We do need some new headshots, but no.
Now, hold on a second. But that is for Patreon subscribers, understand the genius of that comment. Because a couple episodes ago, on our Patreon, which we call After Dark.
Well, listen, even if they, even if I just put the overlay shot up real quick that we start every episode with,
atrocious.
You can see where it's at.
First off, you're wearing like a Caddyshack golf jacket.
Yes.
And that's a selfie that I took while taking, on a toilet at work.
So maybe by the 3-year anniversary we'll get there. No,
that would be nice.
No promises. But anyway, I had to return this container of heavy cream because I opened it up. It was a solid, not a liquid. Like it had literally just formed a solid curd in there. And I'm like, I don't have the receipt. It's gonna be a big pain in the ass. Got there, they're like, oh, you're a Prime member? We'll take care of that for you right away, sir. Bing, bang, boom, got my money back. And then today I had ordered.
Hold up.
Yeah.
How much is a thing of heavy cream?
$4.29.
You're telling me that you drove to Whole Foods to get
$4? Well, no, I had other items to buy. I'm like, since I'm going, let me see if I can return this and get my money back.
All right.
And then today I had ordered a couple items from Dick's Sporting Goods. The box came in and one of them was missing. I'm like, so first that pissed me off. I'm like, there's two items. How do you miss one? Like, it's not right. Like 50 things. So I get on their like little online chat, expected to be completely aggravated by the time I'm done, explain the situation. The person was like, oh, well, we'll mark it as lost and we'll send you a brand new one and we'll give you overnight shipping. So it's there tomorrow at no charge. I was like, I was literally shocked that it went that smoothly.
Ron, I'm disappointed. I'm actually disappointed with you.
Why are you disappointed with me?
Because you couldn't come up with one thing to genuinely like. You're the person that complained about your spice order and being delivered.
That should give you an idea as
at the height
it was for me.
At the height of a pandemic, you legitimately sat there in that seat and bitched that you didn't receive all the spices that you wanted.
Listen, garlic powder is a very important ingredient in a lot of recipes.
When you're cooking, do you still measure like teaspoons or tablespoons, or do you just go with like your gut?
It depends. I mean, a lot of times I'm freehanding it, but if it's a recipe that I'm following, then I'll measure it out. Like I made a recipe earlier today, and I measured out the spices for it.
Are you going to steal my bit of Ron? What did you eat for dinner tonight?
This is actually,
you know, I like to throw that in at random times.
This is actually what I ate for lunch. I made myself some lunches for the next couple of weeks today.
Okay, well now you're gonna have to tell us what did you make.
I made a chicken burrito bowls in my Instant Pot.
Bastard.
Yeah,
so, probably really good, right?
No, they're fantastic. It's chicken, rice, black bean, corn, salsa, cheese. And only 340 calories a bowl. Bing, bang, boom.
Update. What is our update on the weight loss?
We're at 21.2 pounds as of this morning. Thank you. So you're celebrating for me. Thank you.
Congratulations. I knew you were going to break 20 this week or next. That's fucking awesome.
So 30 pounds is next. Got to do it before the summer. I gotta look good for the beach this summer.
Let me ask you a question, and this is in all sincerity.
Yes.
When you hit 30, will you allow me to hug you? I know that you have, you're not a big fan of a human touch in the non-sexual, non-wife way. You right. want touch from your wife. She will not offer it to you, but you will not accept it from other human beings. Can I hug you,
you
when
can.
You say,
I want to feel the next you. When I see you soon, I will allow you to do that.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Right here. And we're going to a baseball game, so even better. I mean, how long has it been?
I've never been to the Philly Stadium, the new Philly Stadium.
But it's been over a year since you and I have had a chance to, together or individually, go
We've
to
a- never been to a baseball. I will be going to a Yankee game this coming week.
You're lucky, man.
No, I'm not really lucky. I paid outrageously for tickets.
I'm sure.
You and I have never enjoyed a baseball game together.
Yeah, be
I'm
good,
looking
good
forward
day.
To it.
So we were getting into coronavirus. We were getting into vaccine stories. This one, again, you know, you talked about the J&J vaccine, so we got that knocked out. But this is one coronavirus story that I think, personally, I think had a happy ending, where a Florida woman.
Are we doing a Robert Kraft story again?
No, not this time. A Florida woman who flipped her lid at a Jacksonville Pier 1 store and purposely coughed on a customer has been sentenced to 30 days in jail.
Deborah
Hunter was also ordered to pay a $500 fine, serve 6 months probation, and this is probably most important, participate in a mental health evaluation along with anger management. She apparently became incensed when the staff of Pier 1 refused to allow her an item or allow her to return an item she didn't have in her possession. So I'm not quite sure. So she felt that she could do a return without actually having the item in hand. So she ended up coughing on a customer there who was currently a brain tumor patient at Mayo Clinic.
Fucking nuts.
So she will spend 30 days in jail. So that's good. Shitty stuff people do. Shitty stuff. Texas is an enigma, even for Dr. Fauci. Not sure why we're not seeing an uptick in COVID in Texas after they scaled back their mask mandate. Brian, any thoughts?
Well, this is the thing. I don't have thoughts, and I truly don't understand it. They didn't scale back. They completely dropped any requirements on masks. They increased capacity across the board in the economy back to 100%. Texas is right now carrying itself as if there is no pandemic going on right now, and they're not seeing a significant increase in cases. And
do you think what that might have to do with is the ridiculously large number of cases that were in their major cities over the last 6 months? I mean, Houston at one point was at 180% capacity on their ICUs.
Yes, but that's because Houston is woefully under serviced by their ICUs. I mean, we know their insane clown posse, the ICPs, they're way too high in Houston, you know, whoop, whoop. But at the same time, the ICUs in the hospitals, they definitely don't have enough. I mean, you and I go coughing in, down in the Fifth Ward. And were you a fan of the Houston Astros?
I can't say that I was ever a huge fan of Houston.
What about the Ghetto Boys?
Ghetto Boys, yes.
Remember the Ghetto Boys? They were from Houston.
Yes. Do you know, I think we've mentioned during, what are you watching before? We were watching For All Mankind on Apple TV. I finally.
No. You were watching All Mankind on Apple TV. I was just following your life.
But I finally realized what the Houston Astros were named after.
The astronauts from NASA?
Yes. Because
you didn't know that.
I had no idea. Never clicked. It was just one of those things where it's staring you right in the face all these years, and it just never hit you.
Kind of like my love for you.
But back to Texas. I mean, do you think it's also possible just because that Texas has removed their mask mandate? I mean, that doesn't mean that there might not be also a significant part of the population that is still wearing masks, even though they're not required to.
They weren't wearing them before. Right. Some people were.
I got answers for you then.
I don't believe that. Listen, if Fauci doesn't have answers, there's no way you or I will.
All right. That's fair. What is also kind of surprising to me is, and I think this is also some clickbait that people have put out there. Like earlier today, it was like major news that the CEO of Pfizer came out and said that, you know, people that are fully vaccinated, that it's probably likely that they're going to need a booster shot within 6 to 12 months of being fully vaccinated. And I think Moderna, you know, said the same thing, that they're looking to have a booster shot come fall. But I don't, again, this is really like, I guess, trying to rile people up. Like, I don't think anyone ever said, you get your two shots or you get your one shot if it's Johnson & Johnson and you're done with. Like, we just never, you know, again, we fast track these vaccines. There hasn't been the years of testing that there would be normally. So a lot of people said this could very much be like the flu, where you have to get a flu shot each and every year because there's different variants of the flu that come out every year. And we're already seeing that. There's four or five variants. I think the UK variant now makes up 80% of the cases in New York City right now. So
what are you talking about, Governor?
I see why people are surprised with the fact that they may need to get a booster shot or they may need to get vaccinated each and every year.
The people that didn't want to get vaccinated in the first place are the same people that are now throwing their hands up in the air saying that there's no way that they want that booster shots are a sign that the original vaccines are ineffective. Frankly, and I'm just going to speak for myself, this is my personal opinion, the views expressed by Brian are not necessarily those of the Ron and Brian podcast, but personally, I am perfectly fine if people who do not want to get vaccinated don't get vaccinated or not required to get vaccinated, then get sick and die.
You're okay with that?
Absolutely.
I mean, I believe that's how it goes.
I believe, and you know, I don't listen. We've talked, you know, episode 53, we spoke all about religion. I certainly don't want to dredge up, territory that we went into.
People can always go back and listen to that one.
Yeah, episode 53 for those that wanted to know. But I don't believe in a God, but I do believe that, you know, that there is some logic to this planet. I believe every now and then Mother Nature has a way to remind humans that we are not in control of what goes on this planet. Volcanoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, pandemics.
I might let this one go to see how many you can name.
I was begging. I was already hoping you cut me off after the third one. But I believe that Mother Nature has a way of being like, okay, fucker, now we're in charge. Global warming is another one. So I believe that a pandemic is a way for Mother Nature to kind of, you know, cull the herd a little bit.
Right.
And if anti-vaxxers don't want to get vaccinated and they want to get a disease that may cause them and their loved ones serious illness, if not death, then I'm okay with that.
Right. And there was a bit I always think of that George Carlin did years ago where he talked about, you know, how much longer Earth has been around versus how long, you know, people have been around. And, you know, whenever the Earth wants to, it can shake us off like fleas. Like it just, yeah. You know, it, nature has that power, and we're seeing that now with this pandemic.
Yes. We need to realign with Mother Earth.
Find your chakra, your chi.
What is chakra? What is chakra?
I have no idea.
What is chi?
You're asking, I have chai tea. I don't know if that's anything similar.
What is chai tea?
It's a spiced tea. You've never had a chai tea?
I did. I didn't care for it. Oh. I didn't understand
All right. Well, I'll take it for a local place that gets some chai.
I will say that I do have a 5-pound bag of La Colombe coffee in my kitchen right now.
Nice. That's the good stuff right there. Yeah, I mean, as far as chakra, crystals, you know, tarot cards, all that stuff, it's just nonsense. Just get that out of here. Chakra, not chakra. I have no idea what that means. Billy brings up a good point. A lesson in the MonsterVerse movies is how humans are the problem.
Did we talk about Godzilla last week?
We did. I believe also,
Ron?
It was Blue Oyster Cult that said history shows again and again how nature points out the folly of man, Godzilla.
I also believe that it was Blue Oyster Cult that brought us cowbell.
More cowbell, yes.
All right, Ron?
Yeah, what?
What are you watching?
Oh, we want to get onto what we're watching? We don't want to get
Let's knock that up.
All right.
Let's do what are you watching? And then let's talk about actually something that is I feel like we need to stretch apart the racism and the police abuse as far as possible.
So this week we both watched the docuseries on HBO Max called Q Into the Storm. About the QAnon group that is very heavily into conspiracy theories. They created Pizzagate. They've created a number of theories about, you know, Trump and shadow governments and Hillary Clinton eating babies and just a lot of crazy stuff. It was a 6-episode docuseries, and I think one of the
That
was 6 episodes.
I watched that shit for 6 hours.
You did, and it this is the thing. Like normally, these docuseries you feel are drawn out. This was 6 packed episodes that you just fly through. And right. At the end of it, you're like, "Wow, I just can't believe I watched 6 hours of this." Yes. You know, it gives you a lot of background into a lot of these boards that have been on the internet for years, like 4chan and 8chan and Something Awful. And it's surprising how small the internet community is with these boards, that it's literally just like a handful of people that have started them and sold them to each other and transferred. And it's a very, for me, it was a very frightening documentary to watch. Because
why? What do you mean by frightening?
Well, I think your average person looks at this whole QAnon phenomenon and they're like, oh, it's just, you know, this fringe group of wackos just believing. No. And it is people in all different levels of life, different levels of education, different ages that were really sucked in and buy into the fact that, you know, again, Hillary Clinton is in a basement in a pizza shop in Washington.
Eating babies.
In a pizza shop that, as it turns out, doesn't have a basement. And, you know, I think the documentary did a good job of showing a lot of the violence that has come from it. There was someone that, you know, fired shots into the pizza shop in Washington, D.C., they showed, for example, the Christchurch shooter in New Zealand who shot up the mosque, how he...
Now, hold on a second. Time up. If I remember correctly, you refused to watch that video when it came out.
No, that one, I watched that video.
You watched that whole video? Because I remember you being like, I don't want to expose myself. I don't need to watch
the whole video, but I watched enough of it to get the gist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I watched all 19 minutes of it. No, I remember that. And if I remember correctly, I felt a certain way because I felt like you were judging me that I watched the entirety of it.
But you know, it's frightening to me in the fact that there is definitely a segment of population that, you know, will believe things of this nature that seem absurd. Like, I'm not saying that you should trust the government. I'm not saying you should believe everything that you hear, everything that you read, but there becomes a level of craziness. Like, they played a clip of someone apologizing to Anderson Cooper, who it was, you know, had left the QAnon following and said, you know, I'm sorry that I once believed that you ate babies.
Yeah.
Like, this is an actual conversation
legitimate
adult people had to have.
But don't you think that there has always been a segment of society that were nut jobs, that were out there, that people discredited because they just, their views didn't fit with the norm? But but years ago, before the internet, they really had no way of communicating with each other.
Right, well, and
now with the internet,
yeah,
they've got the ability to go to a centralized location where you've got this feeding frenzy of, what's the term where you say something and it just people
echo check.
That's why I love you. That's why I love you, because you knew exactly the term I was thinking of. But it's like you've got this environment now where it's just like people are spouting out like these crazy conspiracy theories, and you're suddenly finding other people across the country being like, "Yeah, it's true. If this, I read it on the internet. If this person says it," and then you know you've got with social media, the Facebooks, the YouTubes, the algorithms of if you like this, well, then let's suggest something that's very similar,
right,
that takes people down these wormholes of just theories that are increasingly bizarre and increasingly less based on fact and more just like, oh, well, just trust me that it's true.
Well, yeah, and I think you nailed it. That's the biggest difference between, you know, 20, 30 years ago is now it is so easy for like-minded people to connect and, you know, find each other. And it's one thing when it's, you know, quilters or scrapbookers or what have you, but when you have people that, you know, maybe mentally not all there, and you can share information, you can mobilize, you can, you know, you can try and one up each other. I mean, that was the big thing, is like the shooters between there was the Christchurch mosque shooter, there was a California mosque shooter, and it's like they would say, hey,
there was the guy in Pittsburgh that shot up the synagogue. Right. I mean, like, right,
they're posting to say, hey, watch what I'm gonna do now. So, you know, it's and I think the other big challenge in watching this documentary is, you know, the whole free speech issue. Like, you know, I think I'm a proponent of free speech, you're a proponent of free speech, but it's like there does become a point where, you know, what speech is dangerous is too dangerous to be free, and what platforms shouldn't share it. And I don't have a good answer for that. Like, I someone smarter than me is going to have to figure out like the ethical and legal and moral, you know, guidelines that it may fall under.
Maybe absolute free speech isn't the solution.
And that's, you know, and that's the scary thing. But yeah, who then do we trust to make that determination?
Jewish people.
But to your point, like, you know, you want to trust social media to be like, all right, they can police their own platforms.
But they again, can't.
Like you said, their own algorithms are the one that were like, all right, so you believed in Pizzagate. Well, why don't we're going to show you this video about Jewish space lasers. And if you like that, you know, we're going to show you an animated film of Tom Hanks and Barack Obama eating children. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's again,
yeah,
yeah. I think it's important viewing for anyone who has access to it. It was very informational, very enlightening, and very concerning.
What I liked about the way it was done, and by the way, that reminds me, I want to complain about the way it was done.
Okay.
But one of the way I liked the fact that they built up, and the last episode led up to the storming of the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah.
Because the message, without them ever overtly saying so, was when you've got all these people that are in these echo chambers of conspiracy theories.
Thank you, Ron, for the use of the word echo chamber.
That it's not just this innocent behavior that we can all just scoff off as just like whack jobs, but like there are real world consequences. Right. And you suddenly end up with 10,000 people who were, according to Donald Trump, there were millions. It was the biggest crowd he had ever seen. But you end up with like with tens of thousands of people who all feel that what that they need to, you know, take action to stand up to, you know, to fight for freedom because they're like the few remaining patriots left on this country, and that there's a storm coming. And what were the other stupid phrases that
you know, darkness into light, and you know, so many. And the crazy thing is possibly in the last episode they reveal who Q is.
They imply. There's no smoking gun.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
But again, I mean, I think, you know, if it's one person who's clearly uncomfortable in his own skin, uncomfortable in society, and just seems to be, you know, more intent on being infamous than anything else. You know, someone who really doesn't care what his words seem to have an effect on other people around the world.
Correct. Correct. Well, that's what happens when you have people who have no concern for things that are greater than their own. You know, and those are the two owners of 4chan, 8chan, and then the Acoon.
Yes. So check it out. Q, End of the Storm, HBO Max. Promo for next week, I guess. So,
oh yeah, we're gonna talk about this next week.
We are gonna be watching a new documentary that's gonna drop tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night
is about the band Life of Agony and the making of their new album, Sound of Scars. It's the director's cut documentary. Again, available if you go to soundofscars.com. Those who will remember a while back, we reviewed the album, which Brian and I both liked. And we will be very interested to see this documentary.
And this is basically a documentary of three of the four members of the band that have been in the band since day one. It has been a fascinating roller coaster. There have been ups, there have been downs. There's a very interesting trailer that you can find on the website right now. You can buy tickets if you go to the website, soundofscars.com, which you will see
right there.
It will take you to the website, click get tickets. I believe it's $15 and change and whatnot. Looks fascinating. It looks like you're going to be watching a documentary where people genuinely are exposing themselves with some of their most innermost thoughts, which I think one of the things that we are so craving in society now is legitimacy and vulnerability. And people actually being true and honest, and not putting up a front of a public face. I'm very much looking forward to it. We will be watching it tomorrow night. We will be watching it again over the weekend, and we are going to be talking about it next week on the podcast.
Yes, without a doubt.
Now, is next week the pajama party?
I'd have to look at the. I have to look at the calendar. I'm not 100% sure. I don't even know what day.
No, it can't be.
We got 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks is the pajama party. So Sound of Scars, Life of Agony is the band. The documentary is about them. Should be fascinating. It should be really interesting. Yeah. If you trust our opinion in any way, go to the website listed below. Watch the trailer. If you're interested after watching the trailer, buy a ticket. I believe that you are then able to stream the movie for a period of like 2 weeks afterwards. Yeah, so if you're not available tomorrow night, because those people that are not watching this live, and will be listening to this over the next couple of days, I don't want you to feel that you're not able to.
Right. So moving on, we did have one other story we didn't cover in this week's racism.
Can we save that story for the end and just we'll talk about one other thing? It's a little bit.
No. I don't know if we're going to have time to talk. Ooh. This week,
Ron, let's make time. Let's make time, Ron.
Ron,
stonks.
So anyway, long story short, rough week in the market. The portfolios took a lot of damage, but we are today was a little bit better, and I'm feeling comfortable that we will start to claw our way back up towards prosperity after this week.
Now, Ron, when you say a little bit of damage, kind of put that into perspective.
I mean, thousands of dollars of damage. But again, you only lose money when you sell, Brian. And we have diamond
Correct.
Here, and we don't sell. So we are holding on for the PR. We're holding on for the goats. We are holding on for the sales team. Major distribution deals. We are going to ride this snake all the way to becoming millionaires.
But do you not deny the fact that I was probably about $4,000 to $5,000 richer in terms of net value of my portfolio about 10 days ago?
I would agree with that. So we're on a bit of a lull. So we will come back. I feel good for the coming week.
Would you not agree with me when I make the comment that I am a panic buyer? And feel like I'm going to jump in at the right time, and after I jump in and buy more stock, the stock plummets again even more.
I mean, in general, I mean, I don't know that I would specify you as a panic buyer. I would specify you as someone who panics in most things that you do.
I'm going to take that hit because it's true. It's absolutely true. How many times have you had to walk me off the ledge over the past 2 weeks?
There's been a few times.
And I needed it. I genuinely needed it.
I'm here for.
I remember there was it yesterday where I texted you, Ron, lowercase. And then I was like, Ron, all uppercase. And then Ron, uppercase with exclamation points. And what I thought was so classic was you immediately replied with some type of calming sentence. Like, you, not only did you assume that I was talking about stocks, but you knew that I was panicking and that I needed to be lulled into a sense of complacency. Yeah.
Well, again, rough week. Still one more day left. Hopefully we'll see some green tomorrow and hopefully growth in the future.
Ron?
Yes.
Did any celebrities die this week?
It was quite a week. It's hard to believe that it's only been a week. We lost two OGs right off the bat after last week's episode. Britain's Prince Philip passing away at the age of 99. And then this was a sad one.
Worth one point in the death pool. Nobody had Prince Philip in the death
pool. One person had Prince Philip.
Really?
One person had Prince Philip.
Correct.
DMX, rapper and actor, also passing away at the age of 50. That was a tough one. OD.
That one hurt me a lot.
Causing a heart attack. We also lost one of the stars of The Sopranos, star in a relative term.
Star.
Saravo, dead at age 64. Apparently played Tony Soprano's dad in a lot of flashback scenes. Mm-hmm. And then Bernie Madoff, Ponzi scheme veteran, dying in a federal prison at the age of like 84, 82.
82. Shout out to Billy, super fan.
Yep.
Scoring, what was it, 28 points or 18 points?
18 points, enough to move him up into third place in the Ron and Brian death pool.
Now, who's in seventh place?
You are holding tight with 30 points there in seventh place, my friend. You are ready to make
it. And who's in first?
I am still holding on to first place. We'll see how it plays out.
Ron, I feel like there's a story you and I have been avoiding for the past hour and 4 minutes.
So since we started off so depressing in the beginning, we'll end it depressing as well. Going out to Minnesota, where yet again, police in Minnesota have killed a black man, during the final days of the Derek Chauvin trial. Which went to jury today after the defense rested. But back on the 11th, earlier this week, Dante Wright was pulled over by Brooklyn Center Police, saying they pulled him over due to an expired registration tag and air fresheners hanging from his rearview mirror. After they ran his name through a police database and learned he had an open arrest warrant, they attempted to arrest him. He tried to drive off in his car, and an officer shot him one time, killing him. The officer, Kimberly Potter, 26-year veteran of the force, based on the body cam footage, thought that or says that she thought she was grabbing her taser. She yelled taser three times instead of a taser. She discharged her Glock 9mm handgun a single time, subsequently saying, "Oh shit, I just shot him." However, she was holding the gun for at least 7 seconds before discharging it. She was placed on administrative leave before resigning this past Tuesday with a 2-sentence resignation letter. And she has now been charged with second degree manslaughter. Also, in the meantime, Brooklyn Center has fired their city manager, and their police chief has resigned. So there's a lot.
It's just wrong. Fucking sad. It's so fucking sad. It's I don't even have words. It's so sad, genuinely, that I don't even feel like I have a valid position to vocalize. Like, this is one of those where, like, I feel like I should just stand on the sidelines and just say fucking terrible, because my opinion is not important here.
And, you know, it's the situation of where, you know, just the reason for them being pulled over. You know, I mean, the
excuse, what was it, speeding? Did he have a speeding warrant?
Excuses were an expired registration tag, which all police in Minnesota, you know, are basically aware of the fact that the DMV in Minnesota registration renewals are 2 to 3 months behind due to COVID. So there are a number of people, you know, driving around Minnesota with expired registration tags. You know, the air freshener hanging from a window. Yes, there is a law against it, but when they've done studies in states with those type of laws, like, you know, you're not supposed to have an air freshener hanging, things like that, you know, not surprisingly, people that are pulled over due to things like that, people of color are disproportionately pulled over due to that versus white people. And, you know, it is fairly common knowledge in the legal community that police, you know, pull people over with these minor infractions to search cars to try and find more major infractions. Yes, could you argue that he should not have run? But when you are a black man in a city that had to actually have a long trial to determine if a cop that kneeled on the back of a black man for over 9 minutes killing him, whether that was legal or illegal, I can certainly understand why he would panic over that. And the lack of procedure that was followed by this officer, you know, they had the former police chief from Philadelphia on CNN this past week. And he said, you know, a couple of things were problematic. You know, number one, when you arrest someone, when you're taking them out of their vehicle, you typically do not attempt to handcuff them until you move them around the back of their car. The main reason being is that so you don't get a situation of where, you know, they try and hop back in their car and get away. So, I mean, that's one. Number two, you know, with a passenger in the car like that, it is procedure to not discharge your firearm, because that bullet could have very easily passed through the driver, injuring the passenger as well.
Even as simple as, if you're going for your taser, under what circumstances should you confuse that for grabbing your gun?
Well, here's the thing. The taser is traditionally carried on the opposite side of your dominant hand. So you'd have to reach across your body to get the taser, whereas your gun is on your dominant side. So, and the gun, you know, the gun weighs about a pound more than a taser. The shape of it's different. And the fact that your taser is a bright yellow while your gun is black. And again, it said from the video that she held it for at least 7 seconds before discharging it, you know, plenty of time for her to realize that she did not have a taser. So she will be tried for second degree manslaughter. You know, we'll see how that goes. You know, there was an interesting article I read. You know, you had asked earlier, you know, are things changing because of the visibility that are being brought to cases like this? So I was on a website called The Status Quo, run by a gentleman by the name of Jay Quo, and he wanted to Quo is his last name.
Not Quo. Q? Did you say Q?
Sorry, not Q.
Do you think he's Q?
He was speaking to three myths about police killings that he wanted to address via statistics. The first myth was that most victims killed by police were involved in a violent incident. It is a myth. Out of the 1,127 police killings that took place in 2020, 58% of them began as nonviolent incidents, according to the Mapping Police Violence Project. Nearly 20% of them involved routine traffic stops or mental health interventions, and another 15% or so began as nonviolent domestic disturbances. Another 20% fell under nonviolent offenses. Myth two, that things are getting better as more attention is paid to police violence. You know, the truth here is that killings by the police has remained consistent and high for as long as the numbers have been tracked. 2020 wound up with numbers similar to previous years, and 2021 is mapping the same exact trajectory. And then the third myth is that African Americans are not killed any more frequently and are more likely to be armed. According to a study by the Washington Post from 2015 to 2020, while half the people shot and killed by police were white, African Americans were killed at a disproportionate rate because they only comprise 13% of the population. Specifically, Black Americans are killed at more than twice the rate of whites. And then in the police killings tracked from 2013 to 2020 by the Mapping Police Violence Project, Black suspects were 1.3 times more likely to be unarmed relative to white suspects. So when you look at the statistics, there is a clear race issue when it comes to the police. And the qualified immunity thing needs to go away. And it's like, you know, the public are the ones that are supposed to be calm. You know, police never are asked to remain calm. Police are never asked to de-escalate. Police are never asked.
They're not trained to do it.
And the police are just never asked to wait and let the justice system take their course. It's the public that are being given these expectations, whereas the police officers that are in a place of supposedly needing to be, you know, the better individual are falling far short in a lot of these cases. I mean, we saw it again. They released the body cam footage from Chicago of a 13-year-old boy being shot dead in an alley by a police officer. With his hand.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that today.
Adam Toledo. I mean, it literally got kid stops, has his hands up, turns around, officer shoots him in the chest, kills him.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question that I've been embarrassed to ask?
Okay.
What is qualified immunity?
So qualified immunity is basically it's the court standard that, you know, basically, I mean, you can say from a legal standpoint, pretty much gives police a free pass for a lot of what they do. They get qualified immunity because a lot of the actions they're taking while doing their jobs. So that's why it is so rare that you see a police officer being charged for a crime when their actions are done in the line of duty.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Educate yourself, Brian. Get your head right.
Sorry. Jesus.
Got a little out of my head. So that's, a real up with people episode of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm sure we're all feeling real good.
How do we go to After Dark and get sexy?
I mean, I think everyone is really going to be looking for a release come After Dark. I think everyone is going to be looking. We're going to listen. If you are not part of the Patreon, you're going to be missing stories like a Michigan home inspector that pledged himself with an Elmo doll. We're going to have financial domination talk.
I was unaware of financial domination until recently. Now I am quite aware of FinDoms, as we like to call them, in the industry.
We've got a Pornhub user announcing his retirement. And
that's not me. That is not me. I'll be the first to admit I'm not the Pornhub user retiring.
We've got Chet Hanks and his White Boy Summer video. So I don't know how you need anything more than that. So again, if you want to join the Patreon, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com.
Where's the link, Ron? Where's the link?
Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Check us out. Join us. Join us on the After Dark. It starts in about 15 minutes.
For as little as $10 a month, you will be able to join us live every Thursday at 9:30 Eastern Time. We do an extra 30 minutes, 45 minutes, bonus material just for our Patreons. We call it After Dark. Things get a little saucy. Things get a little spicy. Sometimes Ron's drinking a high alcoholic beer and things get a little crazy in ways that we would not have expected. Brian gets sloppy, slurs his words. It's going to be special. But we also save the saucy and spicy stories. Like, you just watch this for an hour and 15. Fuck, did it get depressing at times? Were there moments of uplifting? Did we have moments of hope, of love, of cherishing? Did I sit there and express the fact that I want to hold Ron in my arms? Yes. Did he acknowledge that one day that's going to be possible? Yes. However, during After Dark, we put all that kind of talk aside and things get a little racy.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Let's get ready for After Dark. Brian, anything else before we jump on out of here this week?
Absolutely not. I just spent the last 75 minutes doing something that I look forward to every week. I love the fact that there are people who are joining us in person. I love the fact that there are people who are going to be joining us again. I love you. This world, it doesn't have to be a shitty place. Treat each other better. Make an effort over the next 7 days to just find an opportunity to just do something you would not have normally done for the betterment of somebody else, not yourself.
All right. Be good to each other. Yes.
And go to soundofscars.com. Yeah. Support my friends in Life of Agony. Watch their documentary. Buy a ticket. It's $15. They have not been able to tour for over a year. That means no income coming in. So help them out. And they put out what should be a very interesting documentary about the history of the band, about the history of them as human beings. Should be great.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us, Patreon folks. We will see you in a few minutes. Everybody else, we will catch you next week.